Mayor Jason Byanski joins us this morning. Good morning, Mayor. How are you?
Good morning, Scott. Doing well. Thank you.
You know, we talked just as three guys from Bryan College Station about a situation that we had had on our news earlier this week having to do with the payments or lack thereof of ambulance service. I mean, it's an ongoing expense, and it's not unique to Bryan or College Station or Brazos County or Texas. I mean, it's a nationwide situation. What did you feel like got aired there? I mean, was the air cleared? Where do we go with this? Just, again, as one member of council, as far as people who don't pay for services that they get.
Well, Scott, it did pass the city council. Council member Condla, myself, and I think council member Hughes voted against it. So I will say that it did pass. A majority of the city council supported it. I personally, as one member of council, see it as another welfare service. I hate to say that at the city level, but we write off millions of dollars every year in unpaid ambulance fees. There's folks that are insured. There's folks that are insured by the government, Medicaid, Medicare, and then there's the cash payers or those private pay that do not have any insurance of any kind to pay, and a lot of those folks pay also, and then there's folks that just don't pay. The thought process behind the council members that supported it was that if you reduce the charges to the individuals that are at low to moderate income range, that more money will be paid. I feel that if they owe $1,000 and they can't pay a dollar to begin with, what makes you think they're going to pay $500 or $300? Mm-hmm. There are several scenarios in that equation that now allow many people to not have to pay anything. It's a 100% discount or a 75% discount or a 50% discount, but if the bottom line is to try to collect more money for the taxpayers of Bryan, when you give 100% discount, you're not going to be collecting more ambulance fees for the taxpayers. We write off a lot. We are trying to find ways as a council to bring in more of those funds. We do work with collection agencies. The system is abused, and there's no doubt about it. I think I've mentioned previous, I called it a taxi service, and I didn't mean that a taxi service by our ambulance to get you to and from the grocery store. But if you're having heartburn and you think you know it's something else, or you just not feeling well, upset stomach, you can get ambulance ride to the emergency room and get immediate treatment. And if someone's truly having a heart attack or in a major car accident, they need to be taken care of. But you can't distinguish and discriminate against who you pick up under the circumstances of their illness. So,
can you tell me, do the 911 operators, are they able to gather any information when those callers come in? Because if they give them a little bit of information, we discussed the other day, boy, they really roll a big expensive ambulance, and is that always necessary? Is there any way that you can take that information and know what they're coming into before they get to that individual's house?
Well, right now it's big, expensive ambulances. If we had a less expensive vehicle that we can send, that could be something we can look at. But if someone calls in that they cut their finger, I mean, that could be a reason to send a less expensive vehicle. But right now we assume the worst and we hope for the best. Mm-hmm. And they arrive on scene. If you're having chest pains, they're assuming you're having a heart attack. And maybe you're having heartburn from that pizza you ate. So,
sure.
We can't, again, we have to assume the worst, and that is part of the services the cities do provide is ambulance service. But there's some folks that do take advantage of the system, and we do have millions of dollars that the taxpayers of the city of Bryan and other cities have to write off every year for unpaid fees. It's a growing expense that needs to be resolved.
Mayor Jason Byanski joining us. All right, before we leave this, then one last thing, and that is, are these decisions made in a vacuum or semi-vacuum? How much, because again, it's a universal problem. Are we finding any unusual things that other cities and other counties or states are doing that are attacking this common problem in a different way?
Absolutely. We're looking for unique situations to try to tackle the problems and collect the funds. We do have a company that we subscribe to that works with us on collections. Not every city works with their entities on a collection basis. So being in the real estate and rental business, I understand about collections. So anytime we can find a way to collect a dollar or two, it helps. So we have payment plans. I think it was y'all had a little segment earlier this week, and you had some callers chime in about maybe community service, mm-hmm. and if you can't pay, can you do this? We do that in our court system already.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get a traffic ticket and you're unable to pay the $250 fine or whatever that fine may be, the judge could give you community service. The problem with that is it costs a lot of money for supervision, in administration to arrange the times, and then you've got liability that you have to worry with. I know our attorneys worry about that. If you're on the side of Highway 6 picking up trash and they get hit, is the city reliable now? But I like the avenue of community service. It's better than nothing. Anything you can do to contribute back to the community, if you can't pay your bill, if you can contribute back in another way, it's better than nothing at this point.
Sure. Let's talk a little bit about Brian trying to come up with some new and big ideas. You've had the first opportunity for citizens earlier this week to kind of give you, the city, their priorities as far as what needs to be done. Let's talk about that process a little bit, because I know you want to get as much community input as possible when it comes to planning.
Absolutely. Our parks plan and our comprehensive plan, I've been reading and hearing a lot about some of the meetings. I think here recently, the last meeting, they were very concerned about Texas Avenue and the above ground utilities and possibly burying those. And again, I think we talked about it. It's a $8 to $10 million a mile type endeavor, but I don't think there's anyone on the council that's against burying those, particularly in new subdivisions, new areas. But the aesthetics, perception is always an issue that we have to tackle in Bryan. That's a concern to our citizens. So that's something we'll be addressing, the commercial districts. And again, we did vote here just this last meeting to move forward on improving Texas Avenue and offering incentives to businesses that want to come in and improve their property. So it is something we're looking into, but I'm glad that the community is participating and we're getting some great feedback and suggestions from our citizens of what we can do to make Bryan better.
Well, and again, you're right. The biggest numbers, I think, were people who said there should be incentives for people who want to do redevelopment. 71% said they wanted to revitalize Texas Avenue from an aesthetic standpoint. But again, give them the number of how much it costs per mile if you bury your utilities.
About $10 million.
Yeah, you know, per and mile. That's and it was even it was not that expensive when College Station did it, but it was still very expensive. And as you've said, I believe we're not talking just utilities. There are other companies that use those poles and you use above ground wires, and you know, you'd have to be able to coordinate all that. And I mean, I agree. Aesthetically, it'd be wonderful, but at some point, you do have to have a balance as to what it costs and what the return is.
You've got Verizon and Suddenlink that also use the poles, and you can't force them underground without some type of compensation. They have right to those poles. They pay for the franchise agreement there. Could you move the poles back a few blocks? I mean, that's a possibility. Mm-hmm. College Station did that in a lot mm-hmm. of areas. So mm-hmm. it wasn't totally underground in 100% of Texas Avenue. I think some of the areas went back two or three blocks. So maybe it's not seen on Texas Avenue. It's further back out of sight. But so that's a possibility. That's still very expensive, but that's not $10 million a mile. So sure. That's something we can look at. And then again, I guess when you ask these priorities, when you look at it from a councilman point of view, infrastructure improvements, sewer improvements, water lines, sidewalks, park lights, street lighting, street improvements, are those more important, less important than $10 million a mile for burying the power lines? I would love to see those power lines buried, and definitely would we want to. We've been continuing with burying them in new developments and locations around town where we can, but to go back and start from scratch, that would be very expensive. We are talking with TxDOT to see if there's funds available. College Station was very fortunate to have additional dollars available at that time. The mm-hmm. timing was good to do that. I don't think TxDOT has those funds available right now to do the same thing in Bryan, but we could make it a priority, and hopefully when those dollars are available, we can pursue it.
Sure. I think this is the first time we've had you in since the election. I'd like to get your thoughts on the results of the council election.
Glad the elections are over with. It causes a lot of stress and tension around City Hall, sure. Particularly with staff. And it's not who wins and who loses with staff. It's just a constant change. You know, every year you have, new bosses, new elected officials with new ideas, different directions that they might want to pursue. And so you've been working on something for the past year or going in a certain direction. Then you have you could have two new council members that decide they want to go in a different direction. So the meeting before the election, we were talking about Texas Avenue and beautification on Texas Avenue and revitalizing Texas Avenue. This next council meeting, the new council members may say, oh, we want to worry about South College, and that's a bigger priority. And so staff regears and retools to a different direction. So,
well, let's talk about these two candidates who won, very, very different. Ben Hardiman, now his third time on Cal, he spent a lot of time in service to the city, not only in elected ways, but other things. His work in downtown Bryan and the Queen is well known. He has really been very deeply ingrained in the operation of the city on a lot of levels. Buppy Simak, on the other hand, if I'm not mistaken, has not really spent any time on any kind of boards or anything else. So basically, an elective position is his first in the city, and he's the rookiest of rookies. So it's kind of it's an interesting difference there.
Yes, I had the opportunity to serve with Ben Hardiman when I was first elected. I would call Ben the wise owl of the council. He was very experienced and knowledgeable of everything going on in the city of Bryan. So he will continue with that for the next 3 years. Buppy, I consider the Energizer Bunny. You know, he has a lot of ambition, a lot of energy, and just the right attitude about making Bryan better. And both new council members are all about making Bryan better, and Ben has proven that in the past and his support and work and time on the council, and Buppy has with his support of the community, with his business and his contributions, and he's served many nonprofit boards, and he and I went to school together, and so when you hear for a long time, you see where we used to be and where we need to be, and we definitely want to keep moving Bryan forward, and I'm excited about serving with the two gentlemen, and they're going to definitely make a huge impact on our council and on our city, and like I said, they bring their ideas and their knowledge and experience and energy to council, and I know the staff's excited to move forward with Ben and Buppy, and it'll be interesting, our first meeting this coming Tuesday, to see the dynamics and see how everyone mixes and what they have to say. So good things ahead for the city of Bryan, and again, I appreciate all those that want to serve and continue to serve. Win or lose, we have a lot of good things going on in Bryan, and glad that people want to keep making Bryan better.
Sure. Finally, give us a quick recap on where we might be with regards to Uber and Lyft, and because I know y'all are trying to coordinate with the city of College Station, so you come up with an ordinance that's universal.
Absolutely. I haven't gotten a recent update on Uber and Lyft. The two cities and the staff have been meeting with representatives from their companies, try to come up with a joint ordinance and policy that could be put in place. I have received a lot of emails and comments and calls about Uber, particularly that, why do we want to regulate them and why are we wanting to add additional layers of regulation to their business? We've had some talk about, well, why are we regulating taxis? Do we need to get rid of regulations altogether and how do we protect the citizens? And so I'm for less regulation and less hoops to jump through and fewer ordinances for our businesses. So maybe we don't need any ordinances in place, and we lift those for the taxi services. But, there's always the fear. You want to make sure that the companies are, doing background checks and that when you get in a cab that, all is good and all is well. But at what point should the city get involved and should the city continue? It's something the councils will have to decide. But sure. Those talks are ongoing.
And that's what I've got. Anything you want to share with the folks this morning?
A lot of Christmas and holiday events going on, Scott. Mm-hmm. I want to mention this Friday in downtown Bryan at 6 o'clock is the Lights On ceremony. I can't believe it. I've been watching that Target commercial the last few weeks where the mayor gets up there on stage and lights a Christmas tree and it doesn't come on. So I guess I need to wear a top hat.
In case. Now, let me see. Friday night, the low is supposed to be 54, so that's pretty good.
It kind of puts you in the holiday mood and Christmas spirit. But a lot of things going on in downtown this weekend, particularly Friday with carolers and music and treats and they've got the Tuba Christmas at the Bryan College Station Library hosting a Tuba Christmas. All that information is on online at bryantx.gov. We've got the Downtown Bryan Christmas Parade coming up. So if you want to participate in the BCS Parade, you've got that opportunity. And then we've got an opportunity for the Downtown Bryan Parade on December 11th at 6 o'clock. So come out for that. Christmas in the Park at Sue Haswell Park, We have Breakfast with Santa. So a lot of events going on for the next 30 days for the Christmas season. So please log on to briantx.gov for more information about all those events. And I want to wish everyone a happy and safe Thanksgiving.
Very good. Yeah, it should be fun. All right, thanks for the time this morning.
Thank you, Scott.